The following is a sermon from Haven Heights Baptist Church in Wauseon. At Haven Heights, we believe that faith comes through hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. As you listen to the sermon, we pray the Lord would use the preaching of his word to point you to Jesus and to strengthen your faith in him. If you're looking for a church home, we'd love for you to join us on Sunday mornings at 10:30 a.m. For more information about our church, go to havenheightsbaptist.org or find us on Facebook. I found it fascinating. It was a church on wheels. It was a semi-truck and trailer. There was also a chapel. Inside the trailer was a pulpit, a keyboard, and of course, chairs for the chapel goers to sit upon. The mobile chapel traveled the country, parking at different truck stops. Sometimes it would be here, sometimes it would be there. And for 1 week, every year it was at the Fulton County Fair. If the mobile chapel was parked near you, you could go inside, you could listen to a sermon, maybe sing a song, say a prayer, and be on your way. And before long, the mobile chapel would be on its way to its next destination. This morning we are once again talking about the tabernacle. And the tabernacle was a portable temple. It was a tent that was approximately 150 feet long and 75 feet wide. It was the place where God dwelt. It was the place where sacrifices were made. And it went where the people went, and it was always on the move. Now, the thing with the mobile chapel is that when it changed locations, everything changed with it. The preachers changed. The musicians changed. Even the people who attended changed. Every location change meant a content change. And this is where the tabernacle was different. The tabernacle changed locations, but the content never changed. Wherever it went, wherever they set up camp, the priests did the same thing. Day after day, they would go into the portable temple and they would offer sacrifices and pray on behalf of the people. The location changed. Content never changed. And the content of the tabernacle has not changed to this day because everything about the tabernacle was a pointer to and fulfilled in Jesus Christ. The tabernacle is about Jesus. If you have your Bible, I invite you to turn to Exodus chapter 25, and we'll begin in verse 23. Make a table of acacia wood, 2 cubits long, 1 cubit wide, and 1.5 cubits high. Overlay it with pure gold and make a gold molding around it. Also make around it a rim 1 handbreadth wide and put a gold molding on the rim. Make 4 gold rings for the table and fasten them to the 4 corners where the 4 legs are. The rings are to be close to the rim to hold the poles used in carrying the table. Make the poles of acacia wood, overlay them with gold, and carry the table with them. And make its plates and dishes of pure gold, as well as its pitchers and bowls for the pouring out of offerings. Put the bread of the presence on this table to be before me at all times. Make a lampstand of pure gold. Hammer out its base and shaft, and make its flower-like cups, buds, and blossoms of 1 piece with them. 6 branches are extended from the sides of the lampstand, 3 on one side and 3 on the other. 3 cups shaped like an almond flower with buds and blossoms are to be on 1 branch, 3 on the next branch, and the same for all 6 branches extending from the lampstand. And on the lampstand there are to be 4 cups shaped like almond flowers and buds and blossoms. 1 bud shall be under the first pair of branches extending from the lampstand, 2nd bud under the 2nd pair, and 3rd bud under the 3rd pair, 6 branches in all. The buds and branches shall be of 1 piece with the lampstand, hammered out of pure gold. Then make it 7 lamps and set them up on it so that they may light the space in front of it. Its wick trimmers and trays are to be of pure gold. A talent of pure gold is to be used for the lampstand and all these accessories. See that you make them according to the pattern shown you on the mountain. It was a portable tabernacle with permanent truth. If you're taking notes this morning, three permanent truths about Jesus from the tabernacle. So first truth of the tabernacle is Jesus is present with us and provides for us. We see these truths of presence and provision in the table. Inside the tent, there was a table, verse 23, make a table of acacia wood, 2 cubits long, 1 cubit wide, and 1.5 cubits high. In feet and inches, that's about 3 feet long, about 18 inches wide, and about 2 feet high, or about the size of our coffee table. And yet, unlike my coffee table, this table, verse 24, is overlaid with pure gold. Verse 25, it has a rim around the top, making it look more like a TV tray. So a flat bottom with these short sides all around the perimeter. And the rim kept the contents from rolling onto the floor. Because again, this is a mobile tent. It's going to move from location to location, and maybe the location won't be exactly flat. And so the rim will keep the contents of the table on the table. The table, verse 26, had 4 legs and 4 rings. Just like last week in the Ark of the Covenant, they would insert these poles into these rings to pick up the table and to move it from location to location. So you look at these verses, they're incredibly specific instructions and specific instructions for intentional symbolism. These instructions are intentional because they convey God's presence and provision. From elsewhere in the Bible, we know that the contents of the table would have been 12 loaves of bread, with 1 loaf representing each tribe. So you remember back from the book of Genesis, Jacob has 12 sons. And Joseph's brothers, they trap him and they sell him to an Egyptian slave owner. And then in time, Joseph gains the favor of Pharaoh and becomes the prime minister of Egypt, so to speak. And famine breaks out and Joseph's brothers need food and Joseph's brothers travel to Egypt. And that's when they're reunited with Joseph. And Joseph tells his brothers, move to Egypt. There's food here, and I will take care of you. So the brothers moved to Egypt with their families. It's about 70 people in all. And all of these people in Exodus chapter 25 can trace their lineage back to one of these brothers. And so here's the point. The 12 loaves of bread don't represent merely 12 tribes. They represent each and every person. Because you see, these were massive loaves. These loaves would be about 12 inches at least in diameter, at least 4 inches thick. They were loaves meant for more than one family. And so the point is that in the bread, each person would have said, that bread is for my family and there's enough here for me. God is inviting his people to his table. And look at verse 30. The bread is in the presence of God. God is saying to his people, this bread is for you. Come into my place and dine with me. Be with me. And yet that's only partly true. Only the priests got to go into the tabernacle. Only the priests got to be in God's presence. And only the priest, and only once a week, got to eat the bread. Some of us remember when Neil Armstrong set foot on the moon. Armstrong took the first step alone, and yet the one man did so on behalf of the United States. And on that July 20th, 1969, Americans didn't say, he did it. Americans said, we did it. It was a defining moment, not for one man, but for a nation. And although it's only one man that gets to go into the tabernacle, that gets to be in God's presence, that gets to eat from his table, the people of God say, that is for us. And the bread is screaming, "Our God has drawn near." But that's not the only symbol of the bread on the table. The bread also means that God provides. So just think of the Lord's Prayer. Give us this day our daily bread. Give us our daily bread. And this, of course, is far more than give us lunch. This is, would you provide for our every need? The bread is a symbol, a reminder that God provides. And God has already provided for them. Do you remember when they're out in the wilderness and they cry out to God, "God, we are just so hungry"? And God says, "When you wake up in the morning, there'll be bread for you on the ground." And the people of God, they go to sleep that night, and they wake up the next morning, and sure enough, there's bread right there on the ground where God said it would be. And then they cry out, "We are thirsty," and God gave them water from a rock. And then their enemies come to attack them, and God fights off their enemies. And then their shoes don't wear out as they walk for 40 years. God has provided for them over and over again. The bread reminds them of what God has done. And the bread reminds them that God has promised to meet their every need. And the bread is shouting, "This is the God who provides." And don't forget where the bread is. The bread is in the tabernacle. It's in the location where God is meeting their biggest needs, where God is atoning for their sins. The bread is shouting, "God has met your needs in the past, and he has promised to meet your needs in the future, and you can bank on it, because right now he is meeting your biggest need. Right now he is atoning for your sin." And church, that is a permanent truth. That was true for them, and that's true for us. We can bank on the fact that God will meet our every need, because he has already met our biggest need in sending his Son to die for our sins. And if he has met our biggest need, will he not also meet our every other need? And so the obvious question, what about when he doesn't? What about when it doesn't seem like Jesus is meeting our needs? And I wonder this morning how many are thinking exactly that. Thinking, that sounds nice. I know that sounds biblical. I know I'm supposed to believe that Jesus meets my needs. But my experience seems to tell me otherwise. The cancer, the accident, the death, the wayward child, the loneliness, the hardship. And we wonder, why doesn't Jesus provide for me? It's not that I don't cry out to him. It's not that I don't ask. And yet it seems as though I get nothing. If all of this is about his presence and about his provision, what should I think? Sometimes God withholds so that we reach out to him. So that we reach out to him again and again and again. Because what we need more than anything is him. That's the point of the bread. The bread is not about the bread. The bread is about Jesus. And the bread is saying, God is giving to us his very own Son. He's giving us his presence. And that's what we need more than anything. You see, we don't just need stuff from him, we actually need him. As in, we need him. We need his presence. Verse 30, it's the bread of presence. It is screaming, your biggest need is not the stuff, your biggest need is a savior. And don't forget that in heaven above, there is nothing said of food or water to drink or even light. Because Jesus is there, and it's his presence that provides for every need. Second, Jesus is light to us and life for us. So second truth is light and life. And we see these in the lampstand. Verse 31, make a lampstand. Now it's important to remember that the tabernacle is a tent. So it's made out of fabric. And it's actually four different layers of fabric. So the first layer is linen. Then there's a layer of goat hair. And then there's another layer of ram skin. And then there's a layer of waterproof leather from a sea cow. So there's four layers or four thicknesses to this fabric, which means that inside it would have been pitch dark, completely dark. And so God tells them to make a lamp for an obvious reason, that inside the tent, the priests are going to need to be able to see. And just as we've seen time and time again, God gives specific instructions. So verse 31, the lampstand's to be pure gold. It's to have a central shaft that broadens out to form a base. It's to have three branches on one side and three branches on the other side, seven stalks in all. It was the shape of a menorah. And menorahs are patterned after this lamp. The lamp is made of one talent of gold. The lamp weighed about 75 to 100 pounds. It's about 5 to 6 feet tall. The lamp is massive, and the lamp is expensive. In current dollars of gold, this lamp is worth about $3 million. Huge. About as tall as me, about 100 pounds, $3 million worth, and then it's ornate. It's actually a piece of art. Verse 34 is to have this design of almond blossoms, and it's to be flower-like. It's to have cups look like buds and blossoms and flowers. It's to look like a living thing. Every surface is to be covered in intricate detail. The lampstand is massive. It's expensive. And it's ornate to convey one simple thing. It's special. And it's special because it has a special task. Verse 37, it lit the space. Without the light, the priest would be in darkness. Remember last week when we said that every year on the Day of Atonement, the high priest would sprinkle the blood of the Lamb on the Ark of the Covenant? Remember how we said that with the Ark of the Covenant, that over the covenant, God's presence resided, and that inside the chest would be the law? And that over the Ark of the Covenant, God would reside, and he would look down upon the chest, and he would see his law, and he would see the infractions of his people. And then every year on the Day of Atonement, the high priest would go to the Ark of the Covenant and would apply blood on the top of the atonement cover. And the blood became a shield. And the blood blocked God's presence from looking down upon the law. He couldn't see it because the blood of the Lamb blocked it. And so he couldn't see the law and see the infractions of his people. And so, question: how is the priest going to see where to apply the blood of the Lamb? Answer: by the light. The light lights the way of salvation. And so the priests were never permitted to let the light go out. Every morning and every evening, the priests would attend to the lamp, making sure that there was always enough oil so that the light stayed on, because the way of salvation must be visible at all times. And without the light, the sacrifice could not be applied. And without the sacrifice, they remained dead in their sins. Without the light, no sacrifice, no sacrifice, death. And isn't it interesting in the New Testament that Jesus tells his followers, you are the light of the world. You are the lampstand. to the world. And Jesus tells his followers, your job is to keep the light on, because your job is to make the way of salvation visible to the world. And he tells his followers, your job is to light the way of salvation, to tell others about Christ, to tell them that Jesus shed his blood for our sins, to tell them that by his sacrifice and only by his sacrifice is God unable to see our infractions of his law. Your job is to light the way of salvation. And if we do not light the way, the sacrifice cannot be applied. And without the sacrifice of Christ, we remain dead in our sins. It really is this simple. If the church is not the light, others will not have life. If the church is not the light, others will not have life. So how do you do that? How do you be a light for Christ? My boys love the harvest moon. That's the full moon in September that's bigger than normal. And undoubtedly, all of us have seen it. And when you see the harvest moon in the sky, you say, look at that, because it's amazing. It's so massive and so bright. And it's called the harvest moon because it comes in September. And so big and so bright that years ago, farmers could work the fields well into the night. And the harvest moon is so big and so bright because it's just a little bit closer to the earth than normal. A little closer, a little more light. And yet the moon, of course, doesn't make light. The moon merely reflects the light that it receives. That's the way to be a light for Christ. The only way to be a light for Christ is to reflect his light. And the only way to reflect his light is to first receive his light. So many of us this morning want our children and our grandchildren to believe in Jesus Christ, to walk with Christ, and to love him. And to follow him all the days of their lives. And one of the ways that will happen is when they first see that in us. Because the more light we receive, the more light we have to reflect. And sometimes things like church attendance and Bible reading and listening to Christian music on the radio, sometimes it seems so mundane and yet far more impactful than we could ever know. And impactful not only on us, but for those around us. Because we cannot reflect what we have not first received. What makes the harvest moon so incredible is that the moon is just a little bit closer to the earth than normal. The way we become a light to others is when we are willing to get just a little bit closer than normal. The way to be a light is to get closer than what is normal so that they are willing to hear the hope that we have in Christ. Jesus says, you are the light of the world. There was no more important task than that, to keep the way of salvation lit. And without the light, the way into salvation is dark. And without the sacrifice, there's only death. But the light of Jesus, leads to life in Jesus. Third, Jesus is patterned for us and promised to us. So look at verse 40. See that you make them according to the pattern shown you on the mountain. So God the Father tells Moses, he says, make sure that everything that you make is exactly, perfectly to the pattern I've shown you. And so these furnishings of the table and the lampstand are not simply furnishings. They are patterns and patterns of Christ. Patterns of Christ to come. And patterns of Christ to come, because if we know our Bibles, we know that the tabernacle actually proves to be far more symbolic than actually salvific. The tabernacle points people to God's salvation, but it doesn't actually save them. In the tabernacle, God's presence really isn't for everyone. Only the priests had access to God. And they only ate in God's presence once a week. And only the high priest, only once a year, and only for a moment, actually, was in the presence of God. And in the tabernacle, salvation isn't really accomplished. Hebrews 10:4, the blood of bulls and goats can never take away sins. And so every year, the high priest would offer another sacrifice. And the tabernacle reminds them that God is light, and yet so many don't see it. The nations around them don't see the light of God's salvation. And the lampstand reminds them that God is life. But far from abundant life, these people live with guilt, always aware that their sin remains. The tabernacle doesn't really save them. The tabernacle is a pattern of something far greater, a pattern and a promise of the coming Christ. It's our call to worship this morning, John 1:14. Jesus came and tabernacled among us. The text is saying Jesus came and became the tabernacle for us. His life is what the tabernacle is everything about. The tabernacle is a promise of what Christ would be. The tabernacle is a pattern of what Christ would be. And so Jesus is the temple. Is he not the bread of life? And on the night he was betrayed, did he not take bread, saying, "This is my body broken for you"? And did he not give his life as a sacrifice once and for all, to provide the way of salvation? Through Jesus Christ, there is access to God, brought into his presence forever, because he alone provides salvation. And Jesus is the table, and Jesus is the lampstand. Jesus said, "I am the light of the world." Jesus illuminates the way to the sacrifice, which of course is himself. And he says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." His life and death makes clear that what we need more than anything is God's forgiveness. And his life and death make clear that what we have in Christ is forgiveness through the blood of the Lamb. And Jesus is the one who shines his light into our heart so that we see what he has done. And if he has not shown or did not shine his light into our heart, we are blind to our sins and blind to his salvation. But by the light, we see Jesus. And by his light, there is life in Jesus. You've been listening to a sermon from Haven Heights Baptist Church in Wauseon. If you're looking for a church home, we invite you to join us. We gather on Sunday mornings at 10:30 a.m. For more information about our church, go to havenheightsbaptist.org or find us on Facebook.